kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Nakalaan na mga araw ni Bibilo Head Chocolatier Santiago Cuyugan sa paglikha ng mga desserts gawa sa tsokolate. Isang material na kailangan ng matinding pag-aaruga at focus.
Why did you decide to focus on pastry and chocolate?
Well, actually, I started out as a savory chef. My mother is a chef instructor, and I wanted to follow in her footsteps. She was the one that actually pushed me to do pastry school first, just to get a solid understanding of the ingredients themselves, and then at that point kind of choose which path to take. And so I was really pushing for savory chefing for the first couple of years, and really only when I came to Australia, I did a bit of a stint at Savor School in Melbourne, and I was there as a teacher's assistant doing research and development, and I really gained my passion for pastry and chocolate while I was there.
Would you say that you actually enjoy being a pastry chef and chocolatier more than being a savory chef?
I would say they're different. I like them both. I think my personality is better suited for pastry. You need to be a lot more organized, calm, relaxed, and there's a lot less yelling and throwing things in the kitchen. A lot more precision and being OCD and getting everything as perfect as possible each step of the way. So I'd say I like them both equally, but I think I'm more suited for pastry and chocolate.
So what are the difficulties of the art form of pastry and of chocolate?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to practice and getting the motor movements down right. With chocolate, a lot of it is really knowing how the chocolate works. It's a material on its own that nothing else really acts like it. You know, you need to know how to temper it. You need to know how to treat it. I was always taught when I was in school to, you know, treat it like your girlfriend. You need to show it some love and you need to take care of it. And if you don't, it'll end up becoming messy on the bench or it'll end up setting on you and becoming more difficult to work with. So it's really taking all those steps and making sure you're maintaining it throughout the whatever you're doing. If you're making chocolate bonbons or show pieces or anything like that, and it's pretty similar to pastry as well. When you're making like a mousse or a chocolate crémeux, you really need to pay attention to each and every single step. You know, you can't fix it at the end. Like if you undercook a steak, you can throw it back on, cook it a bit longer. If you underseason it, you can always finish it with a bit of extra salt or pepper. Or I'm not trying to downplay any chefing because I don't have the skill for it as well, but I just know you have to be a lot more prepared in the beginning instead of the end.
Can you tell us more about your achievements and the competitions you've joined and you've won?
When I was in school, I actually started out joining competitions just because it was a fun extracurricular thing to do. I never really did too well. I'd always end up placing, you know, third or fourth or so on. And halfway through my pastry courses, I was lucky enough to be offered a spot on the junior team, culinary team for Canada to represent on a world stage. And I got a lot of coaching and training from that team and the coaches and managers there. And that really kind of fueled my passion and lit the fire to keep on doing competitions. And I know they're not for everyone, but I think if you catch the bug, then it really sticks around. So when I ended up coming to Australia, it was kind of a new playing ground. It's kind of like, you know, moving as a soccer player or an athlete, moving from one country to another. There's completely new challenges with the same kind of format. So I was happy to do more showpiece competitions and more pastry competitions, and it was all tons of fun. So it was a lot of work, but it wasn't an extra job for me, you know.
Have there been disappointments, let's say, that you've gone through maybe during the beginning of your career that you know, you've learned from and that are memorable for you as well?
Yeah, I do think I'd be worried the day I stopped making mistakes, to be honest. When I was on the junior team, there was a big one where I kind of just started to slack off a bit and focus on other things apart from the competition. And I got bumped off. I got bumped off one of the main spots and put as support, and that really stung. So I learned from that. And then doing my own competitions, the first time I did Safer Patissier of the Year here in Melbourne, I did exactly what I wanted. I made the pastries how I wanted them, but I just wasn't as prepared as I thought I could be. And I ended up getting 13th place out of 30. So that was pretty rough as well. But I ended up learning from that and taking those, you know, experiences and aspects and making the change. So then the next time I did Safer Patissier of the Year, I ended up, you know, fortunately winning. And I guess it means that the changes that I made were the right changes. And those are things I can rely on. You know, next time I need to do a competition, I can say, you know, Santi, because you've made this mistake before, you know not to do it again. And then that just puts me one step ahead of the other competitors if they haven't also made those mistakes before and learned from them as well.
Yeah, that's true. So with all these experiences, all your achievements and disappointments, now you're working as the head chocolatier of Bibelo in South Melbourne.
Well, when I actually found the job, I started as a chef de partie up in pastry, and a couple of months later, the chocolatier ended up having to leave. They were from overseas as well, and so the vacancy opened up, and I ended up taking it. And it was a pretty big struggle. I mean, I guess I explained earlier, chocolate is quite difficult to work with, and working with it, you know, 8 hours a day is mentally challenging. So I kind of grew into the role. I guess I've been there for just over 3 years now, and it's pretty good. It's pretty fun.
So do you still get to eat chocolate? Do you still like eating chocolate, or it's just mostly for creating now?
No, I don't think the love for eating chocolate will ever go away. I don't know if it's a love or if it's just a sugar addiction, but either way, it's not going to go anywhere.
Where do you get inspiration for all the things you create?
I think a lot of it comes from everything. I mean, a wide range of, you know, what flavors, you know, our colleagues like or our partners like, you know, and then we can bring those and put them into a chocolate, or, you know, taking designs from, you know, snacks that everyone loves. You know, let's say you take a chocolate bar from the supermarket and you say, oh, you know, people really love that, you know, caramel and nougat, so let's make that into our own bar. And instead of having it be some sort of, you know, inexpensive snack from the grocery store, we turn it into like a luxurious, decadent, higher end product. So I mean, it comes from everywhere. If you have a look at some of the product that I made for competitions, you know, those things are a bit more intricate. You know, we would never really be able to sell them in a shop just because of the amount of work and detail that goes into them. But for competitions, I draw a lot of inspiration from things that are different, you know, a bit out of the norm. I try and make my designs things that people haven't really done before.
So as a final word, what advice can you give to, let's say, upcoming chefs who are interested or at least curious about pastry and chocolates but are a little bit intimidated trying it?
I know exactly what you mean. We actually have a couple students come through as part of their placement to Bibelot, and we guide them, and they do a couple months or 6 months or so in the shop, and it's our job to kind of teach them and show them the ropes and send them back to school with extra knowledge of being an employee in the workforce. And a lot of them do come through scared. So for me, I try and guide them into it slowly. You know, don't be afraid of it. It's really just food. You're not saving lives. You're not doing any, you know, open heart surgery, anything. So don't be afraid to get messy, and you can always improve. You know, you're not going to be messy the entire time. So drop a bit of chocolate on the floor and, you know, next time drop a bit less and drop a bit less. And before you know it, you're going to be nice and clean the whole way through. So I think it's sort of just kind of getting over that hump and understanding that it's okay to make those mistakes as long as you're learning from them.